Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. We've spent the last month talking on this podcast all about nurturing our romantic relationships and learning skills for navigating conflicts, building emotionally mature connections, and communicating about vulnerable topics such as intimacy, sex, and desire. This week's episode is, in a way, a continuation of that same theme, because how much more equipped will our children be for their future romantic relationships if we start talking to them now in age-appropriate ways about their bodies, their relationships, and their impact on other people? Our guest today, Rowena Thomas, is passionate about parents becoming their children's most important sexual health educators. Rowena shares that she started her period in the fourth grade, and her parents hadn't previously talked to her about puberty, so she had no idea what was happening. She thought she was bleeding to death. And I don't blame Rowena's parents for not wanting to talk with her about this stuff, because conversations about puberty, sexuality, and everything in between can be extremely intimidating for parents. It feels awkward, and we worry we're sharing too little, too much, or that we're getting it all wrong. Stories like Rowena's help me remember how vital it is that we give our kids the information they need to navigate growing up. And thankfully, there are people like Rowena in the world to help us with these tricky conversations. Rowena is the facilitator and owner of Amazing Me, an organization which delivers sexuality programs in primary schools in Australia for children, parents, caregivers, and teachers. Rowena has been married to her incredible husband for 34 years, and they have three adult children. She and her husband also run a charity in India where they educate approximately 600 children and run community projects. I loved the insightful ideas Rowena shares in this interview about how to be a sex educator for my kids, and I know you're going to find it valuable as well. So with no further ado, let's jump in. Rowena, welcome to 3 and 30. I am so excited to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's lovely to talk to you too. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And I would love if you would just start by telling us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. So my name's Rowena, and I go into primary schools, which is elementary schools in America. Mm-hmm. But I'm in Australia. I'm based in Sydney, Australia, and I run sexual health programs in all different schools to parents, to just teachers, to just kids, and parents and kids together. Talking about topics like pornography, sex, reproduction, puberty, and our bodies and body safety. Topics like that. Empowering parents to have conversations with their kids in an ongoing and positive way.
It's so important.
Yes.
And before you started doing this exact angle of education, you were a primary school or elementary school teacher. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
What interested you, or why did you make the pivot into just sexual health education?
Well, I have had lots of jobs in my life, but like most things, I've got three adult children, and I was seeing that the way that they were growing up and their education around sexual health topics, they didn't have any education at school. And I knew that I was passionate about that. And so it all starts from your own kids, really, doesn't it? I wanted to have those ongoing positive conversations. And, you know, part of being human is our sexual health. And so I wanted the education to be inclusive and holistic. And also for me personally, I got my period when I was in year four. I basically started going through puberty when I was six or seven. And I was scared, terrified. I had no idea what was happening to my body. And that made me really nervous and ashamed of who I was. And I didn't want my kids to grow up like that.
I love what you said about so often our passions, our life works really come from personal experience, the things that matter to us, the things that we wish we had known or that we wanted to bring to our children. We decide, well, I'm going to learn about that. And then I'm going to teach what I learned and help other people who may want those same resources. So I think it's incredibly valuable what you're doing. And I'm just so excited to learn from you today. So let's start in. What's your first takeaway for us?
Thank you so much. And in saying that too, I'm still learning. We're all lifelong learners and I love that. So my first takeaway is start conversations when a child is very young and keep conversations going. Mm. So of course, it's never too late to start conversations, but it's never too early either. By building on age-appropriate conversations in the context of your beliefs, your opinions, and even your faith if you have one. So often we think that talking about sexual health topics is all about just talking about sex, as in sexual intercourse, but it's so much more than that, Rachel. Mm. It's a part of who we are. It doesn't just involve one thing. It's not just about having one conversation and it's over. So starting from a very early age when they're toddlers, even before they're toddlers, we can talk about teaching them the right names of their genitals. Mm. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about that at the moment. But if a child actually feels confident in every single part of their body and not ashamed of them, even though they are private, a part of that is actually knowing what the right names are. Mm. Okay, so that's the first thing that you can talk about. And the fact is that they need to know in this day and age where, you know, we live in a pornified, sexualized society and sexual abuses, the statistics are so high all over the world that we need to empower them to know that they are the boss of their bodies, every single part of their bodies, and not just their heads, but their genitals as well. And a part of that is understanding what the right names are. Mm. As well, we know that sexual health is not just about the facts or physical parts of our body, but it's also how we model healthy relationships, consent and boundaries, giving our kids a voice and a choice, and even teaching about validating their feelings when they're young. Oh, you're feeling great about that. Oh, that must have really hurt your feelings, because validating their feelings means that they know that they do have feelings. And when they have those unsafe feelings, that they can actually verbalize those feelings and they can speak up if somebody's hurting them in any part of their lives, including being abused.
Yes.
So all of these things are laying the foundations for our kids to be safe, happy, healthy, not just now, but later on in our life, like everything is. Mm-hmm. So we're born as physical, spiritual, emotional.
Yeah.
And we're also born as sexual human beings. We don't just wake up on our 12th birthday when we're going through puberty and automatically become a sexual human being. Mm-hmm. It's a part of who we are.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for us to think like that rather than think that it's just one conversation that we sit down and we talk about this stuff and we leave out other stuff. And it's building on those conversations.
And sort of check the box, like, we had the talk, so I'm done as a parent. Like that's not ideally how it should go. I had a sex therapist come on years ago. I'll link her episode in the show notes as well, Kristen Hodson.
Great.
And she said that instead of thinking of it as the talk, it should be hundreds of talks over the course of their life.
Yes.
Little talks, like a quick 1 minute, or they ask you a question about something and you just answer it honestly and then you move on. And if you just can build a culture where They're allowed to ask you questions. You don't make it awkward. Yes. You respond honestly with age-appropriate information. Then that's really goal of helping your kids to honor their own sexual health over a lifetime.
Yes, I love that. And nothing to be ashamed of. We were often brought up in families, like my mum and dad tried really hard, but we didn't even talk about this stuff. So not even talking about something is telling your kids that it's something to be ashamed of, or that it's not worth talking about, or that you can't be the person that they actually come to ask questions. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to the internet because they're curious. But it's also not just what you say, but it's also what you do. Kids can't be who and what they can't see. So if you're not modeling breaking down stereotypes, or if you're not modeling being an inclusive parent or a respectful parent, then your kids aren't going to take that on either.
Yeah.
And I think in conversations as well, it's important to be proactive. Often we wait for our kids to ask questions. But we can actually be proactive and say, you know, when you grow up, your penis is going to get bigger. Or when you grow up, you're going to get hair like that. Actually making opportunities so that their kids know that it's normal. And it's a normal part of our family, even though it is private.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many opportunities everywhere now, aren't there? Especially in the media.
And to take something that you see in the media or current event or something and use it as a springboard to talk to them. I think a lot of times with our kids being exposed to like inappropriate media that we maybe wouldn't have preferred, that they were watching a show and then something was said and you're like, turn it off, turn it off. And you can choose to turn it off, but then follow it up by saying, okay, this is why we turned it off, or this is what that meant. And this is why that doesn't match with the values that I have for you. Or sometimes I'll say to my kids, if I see in a show that there's kind of like a mean girl dynamic going on between the characters, or I'll just say, what do you guys think? Is that a good friend? Like, what does it mean to be a good friend? And so we kind of use it as a springboard. And actually talking about being a good friend is part of sexual health. It's part of relationships and learning how to be emotionally mature and all of those things, that this can all be considered part of it.
Communication, honesty, trust, consent, all of those things are the basis of any healthy relationship. And we are trying to counteract what the media, especially pornography, is telling our kids. And the way that we do that is by practicing and talking about this stuff, because we can't put our heads in the sand anymore. The way that our kids are growing up is not the same way that we grew up. So by not saying anything, you're saying something anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say to any parent listening that's like, okay, this sounds great in theory, but I'm scared. It feels so awkward. That it gets easier. It really does. I've been trying to parent this way since my children were very young. But I remember the first few times that I talked to my son about his body parts and different things, how nervous and awkward I felt. And the beauty of them being young when you start is that they don't really know that you feel nervous and awkward. And so it's a great time to sort of practice and get those nerves out. So by the time they're teens, it could be more awkward. But even if you didn't start when they were super young and you're like, now I'm going to start and it's going to be awkward, press through because it does get easier and more comfortable. And my kids are so used to me now. They're like, Mom. Like when I bring up something and I'll be like, you know what that body part is called, or you know what we believe about that. And they're like, Mom, that's so cringy. And I'm like, I know it is, but I'm your mom and I'm going to talk to you about this and I'm going to teach you this. Some parents might say, like, I'm going to wait till my kids are about 12 before I start these conversations. But now that my son is 12, he's actually more resistant to having those conversations than he was when he was younger. And I think he appreciates it, even though sometimes he's like, come on, Mom. I think he loves knowing that I'm somebody that he can talk to about anything. And I mean it when I say that.
Isn't that beautiful? And as you said, it is so much easier. But I also think, Rachel, that even if you are feeling awkward, you can tell your kids. You can say, oh, I feel so awkward about talking about this stuff because I didn't grow up talking about this stuff at all, or it is really private and personal and I feel so weird talking to you, but I really still want to do it because I really think it's important, because I want you to come to me and ask me any question. I'm always available for you. And you can even say, I don't even know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be vulnerable. Even tell them stories about what happened to you when you were growing. Kids love stories. They love it when you've made a mistake. They love it when you've got a funny story about puberty mm-hmm. or their birth story or, you know, and you can even prepare. You can say, what if my child did ask me, what is sex? What would I say? What is porn? When they ask you those questions, what would you say? What do you think sex is? Mm-hmm. Something, it's a huge thing that we all have different values and opinions around. Mm-hmm. So try and think about that. Take a big, deep breath and try and stay calm when they do ask you and think of it not in a negative way, but a positive one.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, if they can't ask you, they'll go to the internet or they'll ask their friends who are probably wildly uninformed because they're also children and teenagers. And like, is that really who I want my son learning about sexual health from? Is other 12-year-old yes. boys? No, I want him coming no. to me. And so I'm going to push through it and I'm not going to freak out when he asks me questions that I think, whoa, that is way advanced where I thought he would be at this point. Just stay calm and answer the question and then wait for them to ask for more or to ask them, what do you think about that? Like, you don't have to give them everything in one
no.
answer. Just
well, that's the lifelong bite-sized conversations.
Yes.
And I've got these strategies where you can either open the door to more conversations or you can slam the door shut. Mm. That's disgusting. I don't want to hear that. I'll tell you when you're older. Go and ask your mother. Go and ask your father. Rather say, that's a great question. What do you know about that? Mm. I think some families are changing. It doesn't matter how conservative you are. You can still have conversations with your kids mm-hmm. around all of these topics in the context of your beliefs mm-hmm. and your values and opinions. But ignorance is not innocence now in this day and age. And I don't think silence can be an option for us. Mm. It just doesn't empower our kids to make wise choices, even though I think it is our responsibility in the end mm-hmm. to protect our kids, and protecting them is actually educating them. Mm,
that's so powerful. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Sometimes I daydream about what I would do with an extra day in the week, and I've noticed that a lot of those daydreams have to do with reconnecting with my social circle. I'd take more lunch breaks with Ryan or meet up with friends for a dessert date. I'd start a book club and go for more girls' trips with my sisters. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the social connection I'm dreaming about is important, and I don't need to feel guilty for taking the time to connect with my people now without having an extra day per week. If you struggle with feeling too busy or too guilty to take care of yourself and your soul needs, you may need the help of a licensed therapist to help encourage you that it's okay to slow down and to lean on your social network for support. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I recommend trying BetterHelp. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3and30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3and30. This episode is also sponsored by Fabric by Gerber Life. Recently, as I was going through my camera roll to send picture updates to family members, I felt that simultaneous proud and sinking feeling that my kids are growing up. It is such a joy to witness. They're getting older and I'm getting older too, and that's why planning for my family's financial security has become a top priority. Making sure we're prepared and have enough life insurance in case something unexpected happens to me or my husband Ryan is crucial. And Fabric by Gerber Life makes it simple and affordable to get a term life insurance policy. You could go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/3and30. That's meetfabric.com/3and30. MEET fabric.com/3and30. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. And then what's your second takeaway for us?
Okay. My second takeaway, it's change your mindsets. And I think we've already talked about a few of those mindsets already, mm-hmm. and that is the fact that it isn't just one talk. Mm-hmm. that it's many conversations, bite-sized conversations over a lifetime in the context of your family. So I think, first of all, in changing mindsets, I think often we think about the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't watch pornography. Don't have sex. Don't. And I think being a sexual human being is lots to do with do's. Like, it's a wonderful thing. It's a part of connection. It's a part of communication. It's a part of being human. It can be a source of great joy, being a sexual human being. Puberty, we always think, oh gosh, puberty, pimples, periods, wet dreams. You know, we think, oh, this is going to be gross, body odor. But it can also be really exciting for our kids. Confidence, independence, happiness, choices, the world is before them. And so I think approaching all of these conversations in a really positive way can actually rub off on your kids. It's not always easy, as I've said a million times, but I think starting off in a positive way can be really incredibly helpful, changing our mindsets.
Yeah.
I think another mindset is assuming things like, because your child asks you, what is porn? They've actually seen it. Or assuming that because they want to know about it, that they're going to go and do it. So they want to know what sex is. They're going to have sex at an early age. When in actual fact, it's the opposite. Children that are actually brought up in families where they talked about sexual health topics from the get-go are more empowered to make wiser choices in their lifetime. And research actually tells us that. And they delay having sex.
That's so powerful to hear, important to hear. I know one mindset that I have had to challenge in myself, and I think a lot of other parents too, is that girls don't look at pornography, only boys do. So it's like we have these like stories that we've told ourselves. And I've heard that in church lessons where they'll say, like, if I'm working with the teenage girls at my church, sometimes the teacher will say, like, I know none of you struggle with this because you're girls, but you need to know what it is because the boys struggle with it. And I'm like, you just made somebody in this class feel so shamed and isolated and alone because she has looked at pornography and she is wondering about it. But now she's like, only boys do that. So there's something wrong with me, or I'm dysfunctional, or, you know, versus just let go of all of the assumptions.
And stereotypes.
Yes.
We need to talk. We need to call out stereotypes everywhere because they're alive and well. And I get the most calls that I get in emails are from parents whose young daughters are accessing pornography.
Interesting.
And they are shocked. And so I always say, nice, kind children watch pornography. So nice kids watch pornography. They're curious.
Yes.
And so why wouldn't they if nobody's talking to them? I would have. That's a really great point, Rachel, and thanks for pointing that out. I think that's with everything. It's like saying when you go through puberty, girls get weaker and boys get stronger. And boys get hairier, girls get more emotional than boys. Boys get angry, girls don't. Boys can't cry. You know, all those sort of assumptions about being a man and being buff and being a weak girl, it has profound impacts on our society as a whole. So we need to call that out. And pornography is definitely being seen by a lot of girls, just like it is boys.
And let me ask you this, as kind of an expert on this, how do you explain pornography to a child?
For starters, I think as soon as your child is given the internet, you can start having those conversations. So even if you don't want to use the word pornography, which I would encourage you to use, I know lots of parents don't. So I like to actually be more specific and I say safe, because I've already talked about being safe, like safe feelings, safe touches, safe secrets, unsafe feelings, like getting that gut feeling. So I would say if you ever see an unsafe picture online, you need to tell me if you've already had that discussion. Or you might say, if you ever see a naked picture on my phone or on the internet or at grandma's or when you go to Uncle Tom's and you're looking at a game and you see a naked picture or a cartoon or a video or it's real, then look away, and I would be so proud of you if you come and tell me that you've seen it. That's a pornography conversation.
Right, right.
You know, we're not even saying the word pornography. Mm-hmm. So that just puts in their head, oh, mum or dad want me to actually tell them when I see something. Or you might say, if you ever see something that makes you feel scared or it just gives you an icky feeling in your guts and you're looking and you see it, mm-hmm. you look away and tell me as soon as you can. And I'll believe you, I'll listen to you, and I'll help you to be safe, because that's not safe for kids to watch. Mm. And I'm here for you, and I want to be the person that you tell all the time. Mm. Yeah. And that's a pornography conversation.
Oh.
So that they know that you're open to talking with them about it. It's all about connection, Rachel. Mm. It's all about strengthening relationships and being the parent that your child comes to and not the internet, so they don't feel ashamed, so that they know that they can come to you and ask you anything, even when it's about pornography. Mm. Pornography is scary, but not everyone's watching it, but your child will see it. Mm. It's in music. It's not just on the internet. Yeah. And you might have parental controls, which I'd really encourage every single parent to get, but that's not actually going to totally protect your child. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you to empower them with wise choices. And part of that is telling them what it is, like a prevention thing, mm-hmm. like road safety, bike safety, sun safety, being safe when it comes to pornography.
Yes, yeah.
What to do when they see something.
And if you can just be as matter of fact about it as you would about bike safety.
Yes.
You can start there and just let them know that there's unsafe things on the internet and this is what you do to try to protect yourself. And if you still stumble upon it, which you probably will, like, it's okay to come tell me about it. I mean, those are the types of conversations that need to be happening. And I really think that this leads perfectly into your third and final takeaway.
Sure. Fantastic. So my third takeaway, my final takeaway, is be an askable parent about any sexual health topic. Even if it takes you off guard or you feel really not comfortable talking about it, okay? As I say all the time, silence is not an option. Connection is key. It's not always easy. But if you think of questions as a positive thing, that you are the privileged one, that your child feels comfortable and open to asking you questions, and isn't that a great thing? They're asking because they're curious and they want to know about the world and about their bodies and about sex and about being human. Mm-hmm. And isn't that wonderful that they can come to you knowing that you're the safe space to answer those questions? So embrace their curiosity, be open to answering their questions no matter how you feel. Try and remain calm when they ask you something. So I always say to parents, fake it. It might be at a big family gathering because they're never going to ask you these questions in private, are they? It's always surrounded by people. So even if you're shocked, fake it and just say, what a great question. Mm-hmm. And I would love to answer that question, but just right now isn't a private time to be answering that question. So I'm going to answer that question later on and make sure you come back to that question. Mm-hmm. But just don't shut down the conversation. And if you have shut down the conversation, because sometimes you think you are taken aback, you might say, look, I'm really sorry I didn't answer that question that you asked me before and I laughed at you, or I nearly threw up because it took me by surprise. Mm. So I'm really sorry. Even say, look, I haven't actually had these conversations with you before and I'm really sorry that I didn't start them earlier than I have, and you're 12 now and I really feel like, you know, I've kind of missed the mark, even though I haven't missed the mark. And I want to start talking to you now about these things.
Mm, yeah.
As I said before, it's never too late. It's never too early. Mm-hmm. It's easier when they're young, but you can still start being an askable parent now. Mm. It's your responsibility. It's not their responsibility to ask you. So often parents say, when should I do it? When should they? Should I wait till they ask me? No, don't wait. Mm. Start today. Start now. Mm. Whether or not that's just going to the shopping center and saying, would you like to choose a deodorant? Start talking about puberty because it's a more comfortable topic than it is sexual intercourse, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay? So start with topics that, you know, maybe are more comfortable for you, mm-hmm. and then progress to those other conversations. It's just all about being open, honest, and really accurate. That's another thing. Don't tell them lies. in this day and age, we just can't do that. Mm. Okay. We need to also talk about things that we might not be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So other people's values, other people's opinions, whether that's gender, whether that's sexual orientation, abortions, consent and all of those things. So in the context of your family, you can still talk about those things. By not talking about those things makes you a parent that isn't an askable parent. And you might not even want to say the word abortion, but you can still give your values and opinions around those things by not even talking about what they necessarily are. Mm-hmm. Did that make sense?
It makes total sense. I absolutely agree. I'm so grateful for this conversation and for your energy and passion. I can tell you really care about what you do, and I just am so grateful for you. If listeners want to learn more from you, where's the best place that they can find out more about your work?
Thank you so much, Rachel. I've absolutely loved it as well. So look, my website is amazingme.com.au. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of resources there. I've got a blog, nearly kills me writing it every couple of weeks. So I'd love you to join up. I've got two online courses as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you actually do these courses with your kids, or they can do it on their own if they don't want you there. But it's all about connection, strengthening relationships. So there's one, Kids Guide to Bodies and Babies, for 7 to 9 and then 9 to 12 year olds. And then there's one that's all about puberty and growing up. So learning about their bodies and growing up and changing, going through puberty. I've also got over 300 books on my website. You can reach out to me. You can ask me any questions that you want to as well. And I'm on Instagram, even though I haven't been on there much lately, amazingme.education. Mm-hmm. So I'd love you to reach out to me that way too. And if you don't mind just me telling you a little bit about my husband and I run a charity in India, and we're really passionate about it, where we educate approximately 600 kids in northern India. Mm. And it's just such a wonderful thing that we are a part of, and we're just so grateful for it. So if you want to have a look at what we do over there, it's at projecthelpindia.com.
Okay. So we will link all of that. And I know there's some parents listening that are going to start some conversations, maybe even today, because they listened to this episode. So thank you again so much, Rowena, for coming on 3 and 30.
Oh, thank you so much. You can do this. You've got this.
Isn't Rowena delightful? I love that she threw in that little pep talk at the last second. You can do this. You've got this. And it's true. You can do this. Even if it feels awkward or new to you, it's so important that we have these ongoing conversations with our kids so we can protect them and also prepare them to have healthy, thriving romantic relationships as adults. So let's recap Rowena's awesome takeaways. First, start conversations around sexual health when a child is very young and keep conversations going. Remember, sex is not just about intercourse. Start by teaching your child the accurate names of their body parts and talk to them about bodily autonomy so they know that they are the boss of their body. And sexual health is not just about our physical bodies either. It's also about relationships, friendship, consent, and boundaries. You can start small with these conversations, and it's never too early or too late. If you feel awkward, just tell your child that and push through your resistance, because as Rowena reminded us in the interview, we are protecting our kids when we educate our kids. Second, challenge your mindsets and stereotypes around sexual health. Let's be sure to focus on the beauty of sexuality and communicate with our children that it can be a source of great joy when in a healthy, committed relationship. We can also celebrate puberty instead of talking about it in super negative tones. It can be a time of growth, confidence, and independence, and the way we introduce these topics will set a tone for our children's experiences with them. Just this week, I hosted a class with the alumni of my Self-Assured Motherhood program where we had educator April Davis from the Vagina Blog talk to us about our menstrual cycles and how we can sync our lives and our to-do lists and our soul care with the needs of our female bodies. And as a side note, she's going to come on the podcast soon to share some of that wisdom here, so stay tuned. But something struck me that someone in that class shared in the chat, and I wanted to share it here today. She said, "I got my first period when I was visiting my dad and my stepmom over summer break. My stepmom was so excited to be the one to help me navigate cramps and bleeding for the first time, and her excitement translated into positive for me. I'm so grateful for that experience." End quote. I think that sweet memory leads really well into Rowena's final takeaway.
be an askable parent about any topic. It can be easy to freeze when our children ask something that seems more mature than we thought they were ready for. However, it's important that we stay calm and open when they come to us with questions. As Rowena pointed out, our reaction will either keep the door open for future questions or it will slam the door shut. And we don't really want our kids going elsewhere to find answers for their sexual health questions, so we might as well push through our discomfort and show up for them. You can always answer questions through the lens of your values, but be honest, positive, and as shame-free as possible. I want you to know that we have several past podcast episodes in the archives that might be of interest to you, including an episode on talking to kids about pornography and an episode about talking to kids about sexual abuse. So I'll be sure to link those in the show notes. My friends, thank you for being here this week, and truly thank you for being the kind of parent who seeks to learn how to be there for your kids in these important ways. You've got this! Rowena and I are both rooting for you, and I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.